I'm appreciative of the opportunity to come here and preach again. It's been a little while. And just to let you know, I've been blessed with preaching appointments at other churches. And been very thankful for those opportunities and very thankful for this opportunity too. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. This week, as I was preparing for the sermon, I came across some scripture that just that did my heart a lot of good. And typically, when God gives me scripture, He expounds upon it and expands upon it. But the Lord really rest me on this one verse. And it's from that verse I wanted to preach from tonight. You can find it in Zephaniah in the Old Testament, which is the fourth book from the end of the Old Testament, right before the book of Haggai. And I'll be reading from the third chapter, in particular, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The more I read that scripture each time, the more joy it brings to my heart. It just tells us how evident God's love is for us. It goes beyond measure that we, it's hard for us to fathom that such a love that God has for us. There's a lot in this one verse. And the more, the more I read it, the more this jumps out to me. At the beginning, it says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. And I believe that that, to me, we talk about being, you know, being nigh to God, being close to God, being intimate to God. But he's in the very midst of us. He can touch us. He doesn't have to move. He's already there. And that's such a powerful and a comforting thought when we face trials and tribulations, challenges of this world, that our God is not far off. Though we may feel that he may have forsaken us, might have forgotten us, he's right there staring at us. And even when we turn our backs from him and we look upon the world, we're still that close that we just have to turn around and look back at him and reorient ourselves and draw close back to him. That's such a love. He could so easily depart from us when we sin, but he chooses not to. And that should give us great comfort and joy, because he's everlasting, ever-knowing, all-powerful. How we don't, I don't deserve him to be that close to me. I'm a sinner. I sin hourly, daily. Even when I try my best, I still fail. But he's there. He is mighty. He's capable of doing all things. There's scripture in Matthew 6, in Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about worrying, and he talks about the birds in the field and the lilies in the the birds in the air and the lilies in the field. The birds do not gather, but God takes care of them. The lilies of the field do not toil, they do not spin fabric, but yet they're more glorious than the raiment of anything that Solomon had. Just how he provides for us, how he takes care of us. He knows no bounds. He is not limited. He takes care of us. Even when we fall short, he's there. He's so much there. When we face trials, when we face tribulations, as I mentioned before, when we face situations, whether it be work or expenses or medical illness, whatever it may be, he's there to provide. He's there to comfort. He's there to help. He knows what our needs are before we even come to him. He knows our thoughts. He knows our troubles. He knows our sorrows. He also knows our joys and our happiness. How great he is. He will save. God sent his only son to pay a price that we can never pay, that all might be saved. It includes everyone, the young, the old, the healthy, the ill, those that have been good and those that have been bad. His saving power knows no limits. Paul talks about how he was the most vilest of sinners, yet God chose to save him in such a miracle way, to serve as an example of just how bad one could be. That there is no limit to God's love. He will save. When he calls upon us, and when that convicting power falls upon us, if you're lost, he is not there just to say, come to me, and then he runs away. He's there, firm, in control. Convicting power is the power that tells you that he's ready to save you here and now. And it's that convicting power that's important. He's there for even those that don't seek him, ever ready and ever willing. When he brings that convicting power, he saves us. And how much our salvation means to us, how much it friends and it grants and affords such great access to a God that loves us, that we can take our prayers and our supplications to him, our needs, our wants. He is there. It's that salvation that brings such great joy and such great peace. He will rejoice over thee with joy. When he saves us, it makes him happy. He is joyous. Just little old me, he was joyful for when I was saved. He was joyful for you for when you were saved. For those that are still seeking, he will be joyful when you are saved. when he brings that sweet peace, that love, the love that knows no bounds, he will joy over you. When I was convicted, I thought of myself as a small pebble of sand in a big beach. Because he had littled me so much, made me realize just what my worth was and who I was. That there was nothing that I could do or ever do, there was nothing that I have done that merited salvation, that I was bound for a devil's hell. Yet when he brought me that sweet peace and that love and that joy, he rejoiced. Do we really realize how much God rejoiced when we were saved? Do we realize the importance of that? It takes me back to my salvation experience. It takes me back to that park on a Saturday night in September with my friend Billy Holt, where I learned that it was necessary to pray out to an almighty God and ask for forgiveness. And I prayed until I received that forgiveness and that peace. And he's there for those that are also lost. How much I want God to rejoice over you. Think of Sister Lizzie when she was saved and just how much God rejoiced. How she told us that she was happy on the inside but not on the outside. I imagine God probably was jumping up and down and very just outwardly just blessed in joy, just like he is for everyone. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He doesn't change. He is today as he was yesterday and will be for tomorrow and forever will be. His love is so immense. His care for us is beyond our comprehension. Even the smallest of concerns are concerns to him. He's happy. I make my God happy. You make your God happy. That should give us great joy. It's easy to let this world drag us into situations and into things and cause us to take our eyes off of Jesus, to be distracted, both for a moment, for months, for years. But we should realize just how happy we make him and what that should bring to us and what that should mean to us. He will rest in his love. I don't remember. When we're born, we don't remember the care that our parents gave us. How they fed us, they took care of us, they rocked us to sleep, they sung songs, lullabies. I remember that for my daughter, though. I had the pleasure of every night rocking her to sleep before she went to bed. And I would hum hymns to her. I dare not sing because I don't remember all the words to all the hymns unless the words are in front of me. We think of the care that we give to our own children, just how much care does God give to us, and how much more abundant that is, and how pure it is. The more I think about it, the more my brain can't comprehend just how great a love that is. And we should try to comprehend that, so that way we can truly, fully appreciate it. I feel that the appreciation of God helps us through times of trouble and need, helps lift our spirits. This world will try to convince us that there's something wrong, that we should be depressed, we should be worried about something, we should be anxious about everything. But we have a God that rocks us to sleep, that takes care of us. He will rejoice over thee with singing. I don't know if God is a soprano, alto, baritone, bass, a tenor. Maybe he's all of it. But he's singing over us. He sings over us with joy. The scriptures, such a powerful blessing. It's also at the same time so humbling just to think of just how much he loves us. I wonder what kind of songs he's singing. Got to be something special, and I can't wait to hear it when I get to heaven. We'll be singing songs to him, and I imagine that he'd be singing a song to us. What great joy he finds in those that are his. As I pondered on this verse, what should be my response? What should I do? What can I do? I definitely can't return the love that he gives to me in equal portion or manner. I'm just not able to, not in this body, not with the carnal desires that afflict my mind and my heart and my soul. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, I think, the best response we could have to God. in Philippians 4. Paul mentions, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, whose names are in the book of life." And he instructs the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We should always be able to praise God for something. And it shouldn't be just for one something. It should be for a lot of somethings. My wife from time to time would ask me, "Name three things that you're glad about." Sometimes I rattle them off real fast, and then sometimes it takes me a little bit, because I think of the things that I'm not so happy about. But my response should be first to rejoice in the Lord, to be happy for those things that he has done. "Let your moderation be known unto all men." We talk about our candle shining bright that all might see that we are a Christian. Through our actions of knowing that we have a God that loves us so great and that will take care of us, that we do not need to seek out great extravagances. A word that moderation might also mean is gentleness. And I think that comes from peace. The peace that we have. No matter what might come, what might happen, as we sung about, it's easy to praise in the good times, but we should also praise in the low times. The Lord is at hand. Zephaniah had already told us that God's always there. We know we have an avenue of prayer that we can go to God at any time. Because Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We have a God that's so close to us that he wants to have that intimate relationship with us. And he wants to hear everything. He cares about us from our top to our bottom, to everything around. There's no such thing as a trivial concern or a trivial thought to God, because of his love that passes all understanding. So we have no reason to be anxious, because we can take it to him. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, So keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I can't comprehend, but it's not for me to comprehend, but it's to know that God does. For when we are saved, we are given that love and that joy, but we're called His. We're joint heirs with Christ. And it's through us looking at Christ as far as the way we should act and behave that it helps our hearts and our minds to get closer to God. To help us to understand that peace that passes all understanding. We're called to strive and to grow. And it's an active activity that we must undertake. It doesn't happen passively. It's something that we must strive for. As the Apostle Paul talks about running a race, you have to take the first step and then continue on. It's not something that you just wait to happen to you. Something to be done. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever so things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We're called to meditate on the goodness of God to us, to those around us, to our families. I once had a professor tell me in college, it takes 7 good things to overcome 1 negative thing. And he was talking about just the nature of our souls. Because we're inclined to the negative. We're inclined to worry. We're inclined to think. Our brains just take us into places where we think without a God. We think on our own terms and our own understanding and our own powers. But when we think of the love that God has and the steadfastness that He has and how close He is and how much power and might that He has, when we think on anything, if there be any praise, we should think on that. Those things which ye have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We're called to an active Christian life. We are called to learn. We are called to do. We are called to listen to God's word. We have the tools of prayer. We have the tool of God's word that we can readily read, pray, and meditate on. And the God of peace shall be with you. Also, desperately, I need that God of peace at all times. I'm prone to worry. Just how I'm wired. But I have a God that can overcome that. If I just think and meditate, listen to him. God's peace passes all understanding, even in the most trying of situations. Right after I was saved, about 6 months after I was saved, I wound up in a situation at an age of 16 with not one, but both parents in the hospital. And I can tell you at that time, I was not worried because of that peace from God. I can't explain it. I can tell you I had a great church family. I had so much food in the house, I actually had to throw food away. There was no way I could eat all of that. There was no way that my brother could eat all of it. All the prayers of the church. Through the darkest of times, we learn just how much that peace of God is. It knows no depths, it knows no bounds, it knows no length, no width, no height. They can see us through anything. So our response should be rejoice in the Lord always. For so many reasons. But most importantly, our salvation in Jesus Christ. And I can think of nothing more important or better. I just hope my prayer this evening was just to stress the importance of just how much of God's joy we are to him. So much that he will sing. And that we should rejoice in it. We should apply and learn and know just how much he is to us. How I have failed him so, yet I rejoice because of his goodness, not because of anything that I have done. For I fail. I stumble. I fall often. But his love picks me up, dusts me off, holds me. That's what God has put on my heart for this evening. I just ask you to reflect on your own lives. To reflect on those times where God has been there through difficult situations. Has provided a peace that the world can never explain. No matter what may come, I know God is there. And we should take great comfort in that.